There are obviously lots of different ways you can try and programs you can try and run to aid discipleship. Small groups, things like Wednesday Night Central, all sorts. What you tend to find there is when, if you look at the Bible and look at some of the many commands in the Bible that are one another commands, and there are well over 50 of them, things like love one another, confess your sins to one another, bear with one another, pray for one another, encourage one another. What you tend to find is that in a small group setting, if you've been part of a home group or a growth group or all sorts of different names, there's a limited amount you can do in those settings. Now, they're good things, and in time we may run them. That's, you know, down the road. But, for instance, take a classic example. If you're really struggling with sin, okay, let's say you're a bloke and you're really struggling with pornography, you're not, obviously, very likely to admit it in your small group setting with your mate's wife and your sister, and you know, it just doesn't happen, does it? And you'll know from experience probably in small groups that they can be very mixed. By small groups there, I mean sort of groups of say 10 people or 8, 9, 10 people. Sometimes they gel and they click, and when they work well, they're brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Other times they're very clunky and you feel like you're sort of almost going through the motions. So this isn't a replacement for small groups, and it's not saying that we won't do home groups, growth groups, small groups at some point in the future. It's just saying that for this intentional life-on-life discipleship, I'm not sure that growth groups, home groups, are exactly the way forward. So to the sheet. A verse, I suppose, if we had to pick a verse that is inspiring this, Hebrews 10, 23-5. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. I've to subtitle these groups, walking with Christ and talking with his people. Taking it as read that we find it hard to follow Christ, the encouragement is that's nothing new. Okay, it's always been a battle. There's always been suffering. There's always been a struggle with sin, with Satan, with the world. And the author of Hebrews knows that, doesn't he? He's worried that people will slip away. If you read the whole book of Hebrews, there are several warnings against people falling back. And so what does he do? Well, he encourages them not to lose grip on the gospel, not to disappear from the church. How do you not draw away, according to the author of Hebrews? Well, let's not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. You'll know if you've been in church any amount of time, you'll probably know some people who seem to be Christians and then have drifted away. And it's just so gutting, isn't it? The first stage of people moving away from belief, it tends to be moving away from church, from fellowship. So they stop coming to small group, or they stop turning up each Sunday. They come twice a month because they're quite busy. And then it's once a month. And then it's kind of two or three times a term. And then suddenly it's not at all. And actually you find that the step away from church is often just a short step away from a step away from Christ. That's why the author's so keen that we don't neglect to meet one another, as already in the early church, some had got into the habit of doing. So, what does he want? Well, he wants them to keep meeting and keep talking. Keep meeting, keep talking. And as we've said already, it's almost certainly doing that, meeting with good friends, people you really trust, you really know, that have pushed you forward the most in your life so far. There's three things in particular. It's always three. If you look hard enough, you can make everything into threes. Three things that particularly were necessary from these verses for perseverance. First of all, that first line, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. So that's, if you like, a belief thing, a doctrinal thing. We need to hold on to the gospel. The confession of our hope is the gospel, isn't it? It's the thing, the message that is going to save us, take us into heaven. So we hold fast the confession. We consider how to stir one another up to love. Okay, we've got to push one another on to love. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. The purpose of the gospel, if you like, is to push us to be lovers of God and lovers of our neighbour. I wonder if sometimes as conservative evangelicals we're not great on that. We think the purpose of the gospel is to get us to be sort of good theologians or clear thinkers or good handlers of the Bible. the purpose is love to God and to neighbour. And also, of course, to stir one another up to good works. The result of the gospel, changed life, is a changed life. In Ephesians 2, when Paul talks about how you've been moved from death to life, he talks about how we should now walk in the good works which were prepared in advance for us to do. When God, before you were a Christian, you were dead in your sins, God brought you to life, and he brought you to life to do these good works that he'd already sorted out for you in the future. It's almost as if God looked and thought, right, there's a whole stack of things that need doing, good things that need doing. And actually, Ted, he's the man to do it. And brings Ted to life so that he can walk in good works. It's obviously not that the good works bring Ted to life. Ted's dead. But once he's brought to life, there's a result in his life. There should be evidence, fruit, walking in good works. In the language of the 3D network stuff we've been using as a just a helpful memory aid, really, you can see the head, heart, hands thing going on there, can't you? Head, clear thinking, holding on to that confession. Heart, love for God and neighbour. And good works, action, putting it into practice. So the idea of the discipleship groups, therefore, is to push us to do these things, these three things. Keep walking with the Lord, okay, keep ourselves burning, and also talking to his people. The two main commands in there are talking commands. Consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Sorry, that one. And then encouraging one another all the more. You meet to encourage and stir one another up. And just finally on this under the aim here thing, I think it's really important to note one good reason to join a small discipleship group is because you want to keep yourself going. You know you're the kind of person who actually does struggle, slips back, takes a couple of steps forward, one back, a couple forward, one back. That's a good reason. Exciting presence. But it's not the best reason, actually. Okay, it's good enough to get you to do it, so self-preservation is a good reason. But the great commandment, love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself, actually, we have responsibility not just for getting myself to heaven, but for everyone else in my congregation, or everyone else in my fellowship. So again, in the words of those verses, you're called not to neglect working out how to spur other people on. Okay, you're not called not to neglect your own salvation in these verses. You're called not to neglect looking after other people. So one good reason to join these groups a good person to join these groups as well is someone who actually is doing fine. Yeah, actually, do you know what? I'm reading the Bible most of the time and I am praying. I am trying to share my faith. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. I'm kind of doing okay at the moment. That kind of person shouldn't think, well, therefore I don't need to join a small group, a discipleship group. That kind of person should be thinking, well, maybe this is the right opportunity for me, who is walking all right at the moment, to encourage and press others on. See, there's an outward focus to it. The primary focus is caring for one another. As we said on Sunday, Christianity isn't a sort of lone ranger religion. It's not the kind of, as long as I'm all right, Jack, then actually, you know, everyone else, you know, you sort yourselves out. We've got a corporate responsibility. So part of the thinking behind these groups is that pastoral care. I realise I haven't said anything on specific details yet. Just so far, any questions or clarifications? I realise I haven't talked about what these particular groups involve or anything I've missed out thinking about the people we've talked this through with. It's kind of core group and Tim. Okay, happy so far. We'll get into the content and then there may be more questions. So what's the idea behind these little discipleship groups? If you look over to the middle page, the idea is they'll be small, small, small. So perhaps three, maybe maximum four people. Single sex and meet, we reckon, a couple of times a month. Any less than that, and it just starts getting silly. You never see one another and it's very hard to build those relationships. We thought about going more often, but decided to be a bit more merciful. Single sex, so you can actually obviously have a closer relationship in a way that's not appropriate with members of the opposite sex who you're not married to. And meeting for an hour and a half. Now, when you meet is entirely up to you. This isn't another set meeting. They will all happen at Thursday evening at 4 o'clock. Some of you, mornings is great. I've met Matt every Wednesday morning for the last, I don't know how long now, year and a bit. And we meet 7 o'clock Wednesday morning and we can both make it, great. Others of you, you'll be at it daytime's better because you've got kids or something, or evenings, weekends, whatever. Doesn't matter. When you decide, but it's twice a month and for an hour and a half. Obviously, you can do more, but if you do less than that, they just start to disintegrate a bit. So that's what a group will be. So effectively, therefore, you're looking at 3 hours a month, just to do the maths for you. Twice a month for an hour, about 3 hours a month. In terms of content, as I said above, the purpose is to keep us walking and talking, and therefore they're not simply another Bible study group, or simply a prayer triplet, or simply an accountability group, although all those things may well be involved to some extent. The point is to keep you going and to keep your friends going. Okay. And of course, there are two dangers in the Bible, aren't there? There's the danger of being a sluggard, a lazy Christian who just can't be bothered and who gradually slips back. There's also, perhaps for less of us, but there is a danger for some that we just massively overcommit and just bury ourselves trying to do more stuff, more meetings, more groups, more blah, blah, blah. So the point of these groups is that they can be flexible. They can be flexible, both in terms of when they meet, but also in terms of what you do when you meet. Okay, how much you decide as a group you're going to take on. It's worth saying at this stage too that although I'm excited about these and I think they can be really useful, and just from a little bit of talk from other churches and reading other people's experiences, there's been some great testimonies about this kind of thing, the small groups. It's not a three-line whip. Okay, you're not going to be looked at as a sort of less keen member of the church if you decide, actually, this isn't for me. At some stages of life, you just may not have the time or you haven't got the... That's fine. Okay, so it's not a big stick. I think they're great. I'd love everyone to do it. But we're not going to be sort of chasing you down. So what do you actually do? Okay, you decided you're going to join a group. Okay, I am up for it. What will that involve? Well, the minimum, called a kind of core menu, the core of what a group would involve. Following that 3D pattern... Head, heart, and hands again. The core menu will be this. Bible. Okay, remember that first command. Hold fast to the confession. To hold fast to the confession, you need to know it. You need to know the scriptures. We all know we should be reading the Bible, day by day, really, most of us. And we struggle. Now, there are different ways of trying to do this. One idea was trying to read through the Bible in a year. I think it's possibly just pushing it for some people. Again, we want flexibility. So what we've done is begun to put together some little packages of parts of the Bible that you choose as a group you're going to do this month. So, for instance, can you whack those around? It's an example of one that I just did start with. You might choose, look, as a group... We're going to look at the Psalms. I think that's enough. There you go. And essentially, you decide, right, this month, we'll look at the Psalms. There we go. What we'll begin to put together, we'll put it on the website, we'll print some out who need paper copies, is just a little sheet of A4, which if you look on the back... has got 30 selected psalms. These are the most famous psalms, more or less. Or at least the ones I think are most famous, the ones I've heard of. To get you a bit of an overview of them. It's not every one. Psalm 119 isn't on there, for those of you who are panicking. But it's lots of the famous ones. It'll hopefully, if you read those 30, it'll give you a good idea of the kind of thing that's in the psalms. There's a bit of variety in there. So over the course of a month, you, on your own, read one a day, or however you want to do it. Catch up at the weekend. Usually I've put less readings than there are in days of the month to give you a bit of breathing space. I think there are actually 30 psalms, so there's less there. In terms of the stuff beforehand, just in terms of helping us get to grips with the Bible, I've just written a short bit on understanding the psalms. We won't go through it all now, but it's tips for understanding that part of the Bible. So on the Psalms one, a little section about how we... Given that lots of them are about David, how do we move from David to the New Testament? How do we understand how to find Jesus in the Psalms? A little bit about some of the difficulties we come across in the Psalms. So, you know, there are plenty of Psalms about asking God to break our enemy's teeth and smash their arms up. And, you know, what do you do with that nowadays when Jesus says, love your enemy? So just a few notes. They're obviously not you know, huge commentaries. We don't want to bury people with extra stuff to read. There's plenty of that out there if you want to. But each one, I mean, I've only just started. So I've done one on John's Gospel, one on the Sermon on the Mount, one a little mini Bible overview. So if you're kind of thinking, I always get lost in the Old Testament, I've picked 2 months' worth, actually, of Old Testament readings to try and get us through the story of the Old Testament. And each one, just a few hints. What are good things to look out for in Mark's Gospel, or sorry, John's Gospel, in the Sermon on the Mount? And we'll try and build those up, obviously, over time, to try and get us reading more than just our favourite little mini part of the Bible. On each sheet, though, just some basic questions. Each one ends with some basic questions to ask, which, to be honest, you can ask of any passage of the Bible, more or less, just to get us in the Word. Is there a prayer I can copy, a promise I can trust? And the three most basic questions at the end there that you can ask about any part. What does it teach me about God? What about man? What does it teach me about the world? And what's the one thing I'm going to take away? Four questions. You can ask those really of any question. So just little Bible packages, which you choose as a group. We're going to do that. And given that each group will have a leader, the idea is that over the course of a year or whatever, you try and get a bit of a balance. So you're not always just doing Gospels or always doing Psalms or whatever. So you do that on your own. You come back together because you've been reading the same thing. First of all, you can check how you've been going. You know, how do you find it? And hopefully help each other with the difficult bits. But also share encouragements. Oh, do you know what's fantastic? The Lord's my shepherd, so I'm really poor. Help me at the moment because ... So you might want to jot down notes. You can do anything you like. But it's keeping a check on each other in a friendly way. And also just helping each other understand it. So if you like, you do most of the work outside the group. But all it is really is just a normal quiet time. It's not anything particularly extra. Read the Bible, come together and discuss it. Second thing there, gospel-driven lives, hands. We're called, the second one there was to stir each other to good works. This is motivated, the author says, by seeing the day approach and by remembering that we're saved in Christ. So the second thing a group will do is just a normal friendship, accountability, encouragement group. The idea is that these particular people you're in a group with, I suppose your particular burden, if that's the right word, responsibility, these are the guys you're praying for in the week. These are the guys that over time you can learn to share your struggles as well as your blessings with, your sins as well as your weaknesses and strengths. It's not going to happen instantly. Okay, there's no pressure that sort of week one you're suddenly confessing the deepest, darkest sort of secrets of your heart. It's gradual. It will be gradual. And again, we'll put together little things that help us tease that out over time. But the second half hour, I suppose, sharing your life, how are things going? And the third one, heart. We know you can't change the heart without prayer, so spend a bit of time, even in the group, praying for one another. That'll be the final third of your time. And obviously the responsibility to pray for one another is throughout the week, not just on the group meetups. So that, if you like, is the core content. To summarise, basically what it is have a quiet time on your own and then come together and keep each other on track with it. Okay, so it's not content heavy at this stage. The only thing I missed out, sorry, which I should have read it, is also we're going to try and learn a verse a week. Okay, a memory verse a week. Psalm 119, verse 11, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. If you try to turn to your neighbour, we won't make you do it, turn to your neighbour and list how many Bible verses you could reel off from your head, not opening the Bible. Most of us, it's very few. It's actually really easy to learn a verse. We've got little cards. I've been doing it at Duffield with some guys for the last year or so. And if you keep the card with you, in your wallet or whatever, they just stick. So we'll do four a month. And just think, this time next year, you could know 50 Bible verses. Amazing. Bible, prayer, and accountability. Now, I'm just going to whip through the last bit and then we'll do questions. For some people, you'll be able to and want to do more. We talked about, Tom and I went through a book at one stage. For some people, you think, actually, you know, I'm doing all this anyway. I'm reading my Bible on my own. Okay, I can meet up for an hour and a half a month to keep an eye on other people and share my life with them, but I really want to press on. What we'll also do is we'll begin to put other stuff on the website, either good books to be reading, or Mark's been writing some essentially sort of personal growth material stuff, which we've been using at Duffield, which we'll be able to nick. A lot of his stuff is just a sheet of A4 like that that you can read through over the course of the two-week period or whatever. So there'll be other stuff if you want to take it further. But we didn't want to bung that all in at the beginning and sort of swamp those for whom it's just a sort of more a thing about getting going with the basic disciplines. Yeah, I will do the last bit. If you look at the bit entitled Nervous. obviously, this is new. Sorry, it's on the back. It's new. It's a new scheme. There'll be no doubt ways we can improve it. No doubt things will get wrong. No doubt things we could tweak. Really, I just want to do something. It's such a vital area. It's so easy to just float in a church or plateau. And so easy to hide in a bigger crowd. But we want to try something and really get on with it. We'll only learn that, obviously, if we try. Now, there may be good reasons why these groups aren't right for you. Only you can know that. We'll talk to you, probably either Matt or Tim or I, will talk to each of you over the course of the next few weeks about whether it is right for you at the moment. Having said that, if there are good reasons, great. Don't be scared of them, though. Two kind of people are scared of them. One is the sort of, the shy person or the cautious person, shy person, for whom the idea of opening up is just terrifying. It's not going to be like that, okay? It's not going to be Spanish Inquisition, Gestapo. It's just learning to help one another, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And the other person, I suppose, is the self-reliant person who thinks, look, I'm fine. Again, try and think through your responsibility to others as well as your own sort of responsibility to yourself. We'll try and put people in natural friendship groups, okay? And as people sort of say, yes, I want to do this over the next few weeks, if there's anyone you desperately want to be with or desperately don't want to be with without getting too sort of play school, who do I sit next to on the bus about it, let us know confidentially. You know, there may be issues between people that I just don't know about. Let us know, and obviously we'll avoid that. We'll try and put people with people who are people like me, as it were, so it's not awkward. And they'll also only run for a year. After a year, we'll stop them, and for some, obviously, if new people join the church, we'll mix them up maybe, or so there's an end in sight. Having said which, if you decide to go for it, go for it. If you actually miss, a meeting, you meet twice a month and you miss one, it's just useless. You'll end up meeting like 10 times a year and basically they'll be feckless, no use at all. So if you decide to go for it properly and really commit for the sake of those in your group to making both those meetings. And then just finally, the thing from the Hebrews verse, the encouraging thing for me in those verses is that even for them, it was an ongoing process. He says, let us consider how to. Let's think about it. Let's work it out. Let's work out how to be better at this. He says, let's do it all the more as the day approaches. Again, they're both phrases that suggest that it's a learning process. It's not a finished article. It's not going to be brilliant straight away. So the groups aren't for the super keen in the church. They're not for mega Christians. They're just for normal people who struggle, have good times, bad times, but who know they need help, and also they bear responsibility for their brothers and their sisters. I think that's enough from me. Yeah, that's all my notes. Any just questions on clarification? We're going to have a good time of prayer this evening. But just questions on clarification, either on content or anything particular. This is good.
I guess you're wanting the whole church to be involved with this.
Yep. Some of those guys I've already talked to because I knew they were going to be away, like the laws and people like that. We'll just have to try and catch them. We might do a similar sped up version after church, grab people 15 minutes one Sunday. I'm keen to do it, as in I'm keen to be in a group, and I think it could be quite exciting. So we'll enthuse about it, but not sort of three-line whip people into it. And actually, it's worth saying, I think because of the slightly, for some of you are in the weird position of sort of being between two churches, SWAT team people, nominally, if you're SWAT team, you're still sort of at St Alkmund's. So it probably makes more sense for you to be in a group with other people at St Alkmund's if you want to do that. Unless you want to abandon St Alkmund's, in which case, move you into one of ours. But the same scheme is running at Duffield, so it's not. All this applies there as well. Anything else, either queries or I've missed out or we talked about? I'm trying to think of core group people. Happy. Cool. Okay. What we'll do is, if you know, I do want to be involved in this, just get in touch, save anyone chasing you. We will try and catch people over the next 3 or 4 weeks. The idea is to try and get them going probably late May, just to give time for some of the people away to come back from holidays and have talk with everybody. So late May, we'll look to actually get them going. There's the odd thing I've got that sort of first exercises to do as a group to sort of begin to get to know each other and things like that. So you've got a bit of time to think about it, pray about it, consider it, then either get in touch with us or we'll be in touch with you. Great. 5 minutes earlier than normal, even better. We'll turn to prayer. End of the second term, it'd be good to spend some time just giving thanks, actually. So quick to pray for things, that's so easy to forget what God's done for us. I was thinking this afternoon back about the sort of seven of us who began meeting back in January, and it's great where we're at now compared to this time last year. This was about the time we started thinking we desperately need more people than seven if we're going to start a church. God has gone ahead of us. He's provided way more than we thought, both financially, both in terms of people. So do spend some time just giving thanks on your tables. In terms of looking forward, it'd be great to pray basically for the next stage of the church. There's just a danger that as a church, just as you can as a Christian, you plateau. So you sort of get, oh, phew, we've got 35 people. Feels like a normal church on a Sunday. We're there. We're not there. You're never there. So do be praying for church, for the normal things certainly, which you never give up on, like our evangelism, like our growth. Pray for this scheme. Pray for growth, not just in terms of Christians joining us, but in terms of non-Christians coming along. And then let's not forget the many material needs that God has provided us for so far, but which are by no means certain. Finances are always an issue. Venue is always an issue. We've just signed again. I gave them the contract yesterday through to September, so that's great. We're safe for another 6 months at the Jury's Inn. Pay for provision for people to begin to take on some of the other roles. So the band, for instance, are having to do it more or less every week, which is, big duty. It'd be great to bring some people in who can start rotating on those sort of things. And pray too for those on your table who aren't here. I've heard from, Laws are obviously gone to Australia. Slade Walkers are away. Ollie's still away. Let's remember them too. And then as ever, do the normal sort of prayer sharing for each other. Great.